Welcome to Atlas Mara's Q1 IMS Investor Call. There will be a brief presentation by management, and this will be followed by questions. I'll now hand it over to Atlas Mara's CEO, John Fotopoulos. Go ahead, John.
Zaretha, thank you. Good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, depending on where you're based. Thank you for joining us on this call to review our first quarter. Together with me on the call today are Bob Dimond and Ashish Thakkar, our co-founders, Irina McDonald, our CFO, JP Crutchley, our head of relations, joined us as well. Before we kick off, I just want to say that all the members of our team are in different geographic locations today, so we apologize in advance if that makes some of the handoffs a bit clumsy or slower than otherwise would normally be the case. We've got a presentation available on our website. We're going to run through that real quick. Before beginning, I want to draw your attention to the disclaimer on page one, which I will take as read and acknowledged. Slide three of that presentation sets out the agenda for this call. We're going to run through the short presentation and then open up the lines for questions. Because this is a quarterly update, there's obviously less detail in the release than was the case at the full year. You'll recall that at the full year, we indicated we expected to report a loss in the first quarter. Today we announced that the loss was $2 million on an underlying basis and $6.7 million on a fully reported basis. What our agenda is today principally is to let you know that we're on top of the issues that drove this outcome, and we've got plans to reverse it and get back on track. First, Bob and Ashish, who are fresh back from our recent rebranding of our Rwandan acquisitions at the World Economic Forum in Kigali, are going to say a few words. Irina will then summarize the financials for the quarter and what drove the underperformance, and I'll finish up by talking to the actions we're taking to reverse that underperformance and why we're still confident in our aim of increasing profits this year relative to 2015. Obviously, after that, we'll go into Q&A. Let me hand over now to Bob.
Thank you, John. It was a tough quarter. We experienced the full impact of the headwinds that we all know have been out there. The commodity and currency cycle, the slowdown in China, the pullback from so many of the European financial institutions in terms of the capital and risk that they've allocated to sub-Saharan Africa. What this has proven is terrific. One, the model we have, an African bank, is exactly the right model. The team that we have, what execution in the difficult environment against these headwinds in buy, protect, and in execution and grow. The environment looks pretty good to us. The current currency levels rebound in some of the commodity prices give us good entry points and a good opportunity to continue to out-execute the competition. One of the things that Ashish and I were able to do in the last couple of weeks was spend time in Kigali. In Rwanda, we've now had our second acquisition. We've combined the two banks. Ashish will talk about the rebranding. The president was there, the finance minister was there, the governor of the central bank was there, our customers and clients were there, our staff was there. This is a terrific operation for Atlas Mara in Rwanda. Let me take this opportunity to pass over to my partner. Ashish is, as we speak, in Lusaka at the African Development Bank meetings. Ashish, were you able to connect?
Yes. Thank you, partner. Greetings to you all from Lusaka and Zambia. As Bob said, it was an amazing event. I think what was really important is that not only was the BPR brand brought up to date, but increasingly, the part of Atlas Mara linkage is having increasing brand resonance. I think most people know that one of our fundamentals here at Atlas Mara is that we are operators, not just investors, but real operators. It is not only important to us that we build strong local operations in countries which we operate, but it is also important that we link those local brands through the economic blocks in which we operate to emphasize the broader reach, product offering, and balance sheet strength that comes with being part of Atlas Mara. That is what we are looking to do with the part of Atlas Mara branding, which has worked so well in the southern region with last year's rebranding, and it is now really pleasing to see the same positive reaction in Rwanda. I'm going to now hand over to Irina to talk through the quarter one financials.
Thanks, Ashish. and good day to everyone on the call. Slide 6 runs through the high-level numbers for the quarter. Obviously, reporting a loss for the quarter was disappointing. However, the positive features that I would highlight include healthy growth in revenues on a constant currency basis, as well as in loans and advances and deposits. Despite the loss, we also reported an increase in book value per share and equity in the quarter. Slide 7 provides a more in-depth look at the results of the quarter. And while we're pleased with the performance of our Nigerian associate, UBN, and the top-line revenue growth, clearly the negative performance was disappointing. It can be attributed to mainly four factors. One, full impact from foreign exchange translation due to the weakness of African currencies against the stronger US dollar in the second half of 2015. Second, credit provisions taken in Zimbabwe against specific corporate loans. Three, a lack of non-performing loan recoveries in Q1, which has already partially reversed in the second quarter. And four, M&A and one-off costs where the benefit from spend will only follow later. Let me now hand back to John to talk about what we are doing to deal with this situation and to ensure that the returns get back on track to achieve our stated medium-term financial targets.
Thanks, Serena. And I'm on slide 9 now. So obviously the outcome in the quarter was not at the level that either we or our fellow shareholders expect. I'm going to bring this business right back to basics to get back on track to be on the path to the 20% medium-term target ROE and the other financial metrics that we've publicly committed to. To that end, we have detailed implementation plans to enhance revenues and reduce costs over the remainder of the year. We're executing on those. In terms of revenue projects, there are specific projects with clear targets for incremental revenue uplift. That includes a faster rollout of our transactional banking plans. Actually, one of the successes of the first quarter was our growth in non-interest income, particularly in the treasury space. You know, we've been flagging to you that's a business, treasury and markets, that we intend to build, an area where we can really add value. And so that's something we're going to accelerate over the remainder of the year. On the cost side, we have clear plans to cut run rate costs in each of the places we operate in the eastern and southern regions. And we're also focusing on that at the corporate center level, too. Our cost income ratio is just too high. Now, as Arena said, one of the disappointments in our Q1 results was a lack of recoveries from the NPL book, but we still think that's a fertile source of earnings and that Q1 was a timing aberration, like she said, and so we're doubling down on our efforts there. And finally, we look to continue to reduce our cost of funds through sticky liability growth and generating non-institutional sources of funding. Going to slide 10, I'm going to talk about what we'll do more of. It's a repeat of a slide that I used that full year. My point is that while we have clear tactical responses to the poor result of the quarter, our longer-term focus and our ambition is undimmed. We want to build on the momentum that we delivered in 2015. I won't read through all the points on this slide, but the key things I want to see over the course of 2016 are a faster metabolic rate and a more performance-focused culture across our operating banks. We've been driving that, continue to drive that. We want to continue delivering growth rates we've demonstrated that the organization is capable of while being mindful of the economic environment and uncertainties, of course. We want to continue to improve risk management governance. We think it's important that we're not just seen as a collection of banks. We're building a banking group, and so building brand equity across our markets is key. The part of Atlas Mara, like you saw on that slide 4 and Ashish talked about, is important. We want to show demonstrable revenues from the investments we're making in our technology and digital platforms, and we'll continue the cost management, as I said. With that, let me hand back to the operator to open up the lines for questions. Operator?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, in order to ask a question, please press star 1. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Again, in order to ask a question, please press star 1. Your first question is from the line of Elon Sparmer of Renaissance Capital.
Hi, good afternoon.
Thanks. Hi, Elon. How are you doing?
Well, thank you. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
A quick question and perhaps a little bit of a detailed question, as you would know by now, Favour. The Nigerian authorities are talking about liberalization of the interbank forex market. Now, the details are sparse. They haven't really said how they're doing it, but the implication is clear, and that is that by and large, the Naira will be able to float to some level or managed float to some level. How does that impact on Asmara from the perspective of the earnings that you equity account from UBN and in terms of the investment in UBN as it stands at this stage?
Yeah, thanks, Elon. You know, we've been watching that news and obviously, you know, following that whole situation very closely, talking to plenty of people in Nigeria. You've stated exactly right that there are just so many details that aren't known yet. The statement from the MPC yesterday had kind of something for everybody in it. I think we're really just going to have to wait for those details to emerge through practice over time in the market, or further clarification from the central bank before we can know the answer to that question. What I can assure you of is that we are all over that situation, and the management team of UBN have thus far done a terrific job of managing through the situation in Nigeria, and we have every confidence that they'll continue doing that.
We'll leave it at that for now then. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. And your next question comes from the line of Brian Fuller of Guggenheim Partners.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my questions. I was just wondering on the capital side, any in Q1 or since were any of the subsidiaries, did they need capital injections or did they all maintain above the minimum requirements during the quarter?
All of our subsidiaries are well capitalized, strongly capitalized. We run a buffer above the regulatory required minimums, and all of them are operating there, and at least at that 200 basis point buffer, some quite a bit ahead of it. So we're in good shape there.
All right, great. And then on the asset quality side, was Zimbabwe the only country that you saw slippage in, or did you see deterioration in other countries as well? And, you know, within those countries, are there specific pockets of weakness that you're seeing?
Zimbabwe was the large part of it. There were bits and bobs in other places, but Zimbabwe was the large part of it.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Your next question is from the line of Michael Mackey of Kingdom Capital.
Hey, guys. Just a quick question. Just to give you an update of where we stand on the share buyback, how much is left on authorization, and if and when you guys plan to be back in the market. I mean, obviously, we're in a quiet period for earnings.
Yeah. I'm going to ask JP to come in on that for us. JP is the guy who administers that for us on a day-to-day basis, and so he ought to be able to answer with the most up-to-date numbers. JP?
Thanks, John. Mike, so just where we stand currently, you recall we had the $10 million authorization, which we announced back with the first quarter numbers. Up until the 15th of March this year, we'd done just over 5.2 million of that, so that leaves about 4.8 million headroom. As you correctly identify, pretty much as we came out of the full year numbers, we were still effectively in closed period because of the impending Q1s. So that restraint is removed. The only other technical issue is that the authority, which was there for the buyback, for memory, extended until the AGM by the board, and that we can obviously get extended as well. But we are able to be back in the market now. We're out of a closed period, should we choose to do so.
Okay, great. That's helpful. Thanks, JP.
Thanks, Michael.
And your next question is a follow-up from the line of Brian Fuller of Guggenheim Partners.
I just wanted to follow up if you had any comment on the Barclays Africa and how that's, you know, how they're progressing with choosing to sell off an initial minority stake. And I'm not sure what you can comment on, but if you have any update for us.
Thanks, Brian. You know, we recognize that that's probably a question in a few of the folks' minds on this call, but we don't have anything to add on that at this point. If we're when we're required to do that, to update the market again, of course we will. But what we said back about a month ago at this point is still stands.
Okay, and away from that, about, you know, what's your M&A target for the year of how many you'd like to close?
I think we'd like to close, let's call it two. Centrally, like to close two acquisitions in 2016. That could turn out to be one, or it could turn out to be three. But two is a pretty good number.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, and I would now like to turn the call back to Mr. Vitello.
All right, well, operator, thank you. And our thanks to everybody who's joined us on the call today. We appreciate your dialing in and taking the time, and we'll end it there. Thanks so much.
Thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may now disconnect.